so don't forget it. It's just a silly phase I'm going through. And just because I call you up, don't get me wrong.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here on 1480 AM KPHX Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac. Missing is Joseph J. He'll be back in a second. Greg Isaac is in studio with Eric Reiner. Trisha will be back. Probably a coffee break, huh, guys?
I think so. The great Keurig out there, she brought some caramel-type coffee.
They're having a good time with that machine, isn't
it? They are. It's a lot of fun.
Very, very good. I should have brought some more of those things. I didn't know how good they were.
Yeah, it is pretty tasty.
There's some in there. It's not maybe the kind you like, but we have some in there.
Oh, you have some? It's what
flavor? Hey, it's still great. Yeah.
I've got donut shop coffee, whatever that means.
Oh, hey, now, that's
good. Is it sort of sweet?
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, I might like that, right?
You would. I think you would really like that.
What am I, a policeman? Donut shop coffee?
We also have Dunkin' Donuts brand coffee, too.
Which is also very good.
If you want to make a pot.
Yes.
Oh, but you have a little, what are these called?
He was just holding it. Yeah.
K-cups.
Oh, they're sort of cool, aren't they?
I guess.
What is this music without Joseph J. to tell us?
I have no idea.
This is 10cc, I'm not enough.
10cc, I'm not. Oh, okay. And I'm assuming this is from Guardians of the Galaxy as well, because I believe most or all of the songs today were in that movie, or at least had to do with it. But yeah, I'm the only one in here alongside Eric that has not seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet, but I am very excited about it. As you always know, I always talk up Chris Pratt. Ever since one of the first times I saw him was in Wanted with Angelina Jolie and Morgan Freeman. Smaller role. He played the best friend of James McAvoy, but he's just been great, and I think Chris Pratt was discovered. I believe he was a waiter in Hawaii, and because he was so outgoing, someone there, a producer or someone, was like, hey, now, and that's when he started getting some of his little roles, and now we see him, and he's with Anna Faris, of course, so they have a nice, Hollywood couple.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's very talented,
too. Oh, all my gay friends are going to be so sad.
I'm sorry.
Oh, how many do you have?
A lot.
A lot?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Don't look at me.
No. You're not my friend. You're my husband.
Oh, yeah.
But she didn't say that you weren't.
That's kind of
that's okay, Dave.
Oh, no, husband. That's the actor. That's the word. No, I just.
That's the word.
But no, anyway. Yeah, that he's awesome.
Yeah.
So who, me?
Okay, no, Chris Pratt. But Joseph, that song that played us.
10cc,
10cc,
right?
Yeah, I'm not in love. Very good.
I thought it was 1080. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, great band.
No.
Oh. Yes.
10.
CC.
10, that's your birthday.
You know why they're
called? Yeah, 10.
That's your birthday.
Nice.
Wow, you know why they're called 10cc? There. I didn't even know
I
that.
Only remember
why
it for
are they called?
Reason.
Very cool.
Because that was the amount of heroin they put in a syringe.
Oh. Really?
True story. 10 CCs? Oh, wow, that's a lot.
See, I've never heard of that band. Are they from the 80s? It sounded like an 80s type song.
You know the song, The Things We Do For Love?
Oh, yeah, I like that too. That's a good one.
Oh, very good.
I've heard of Pod.
Pod race.
P-O-D.
Chase?
Hey. I got to give a shout out to Marcos and Sonny and all my boys at P-O-D. They're on en route right now to El Paso, Texas.
Oh.
They got an acoustic album coming out, and these guys, they're awesome.
They
love
are.
Them.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's known them since they came out in 1992.
I haven't heard of them.
But, they're a San Diego homegrown band.
I've heard of DOA.
But the thing is you know what? They're just down-to-earth kind
they're
of
like
guys.
They're like cool.
They are.
I saw the picture.
They gave me knuckles. Hello.
Payable
they gave you
on
knuckles?
Death.
Yeah.
Did you get the did
payment
you go,
on death. Yep.
Payable on death.
Payment on death.
They gave
payable. That's right. Payable on death.
So they gave you knuckles. Did you get that treated?
Not that kind. They're a Christian band, actually.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They're awesome, though. Very, very cool. And, Boom and some of their songs.
Boom.
Yeah. They've got some great songs out there.
Oh, yeah, let's play some
there.
Of that.
Youth
I haven't
nation.
Heard of it. P.O.D.
Well, talking about knuckles, and you're making the STD comment there. We will be talking about...
Oh, no, that's not an STD
We will be talking about crabs later.
Oh!
Really?
We will, right? Remember?
I like crabs.
Behaving badly. When you're behaving badly, you get crabs.
I love crab legs.
I believe Red Lobster is having Crab Fest right now. I don't think it includes crab legs, though. It might.
Oh, I want to look up...
It's crab in many different ways, including, I think, there are... There's like three different kinds on one platter, and part of them are...
Way to turn me off on eating eating crab ever again.
Look at that. Dave's already looking it up because he loves the all-you-can-eat shrimp at Red Lobster.
And he's found the other
he
crab.
Does next all month. Of us
well,
do.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
I'm looking up when it's going to start.
I believe next month,
endless shrimp.
Maybe
here we go.
October. Yeah, Dave's actually looking at Joseph, what's on the
well,
agenda.
Well, let's talk about a couple other movies that came out yesterday. You know, of course, July is over, yeah. But a big thing, I know the Hallmark Channel, because they released all their ornaments. We talked about it a few weeks ago that they released all their ornaments. They have an Elsa ornament from Frozen. They have a Jaws ornament and things like that. So Christmas in July is a really big thing. The Hallmark yes. Channel plays all these Christmas movies, and now there is a Christmas movie out starting yeah. yesterday. It's called Happy Christmas. Anna Kendrick plays a woman who, after a breakup, moves in with her sister, played by Melanie Lynskey. We know
her.
She's
great.
She's
yeah.
been in a few of our Phoenix Film Festival films. Despite a rocky start, not rocket start, a rocky start, the woman's influence helps her sister realize that an evolution in her life, career, and relationship is necessary for her happiness. So anyone check out this trailer? What'd you think?
I did.
Of, yeah?
Yeah, what's it called?
Happy Christmas.
Oh, Happy Christmas.
You're still looking up the crabs.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, I was looking up the endless shrimp.
Treatment and all that. Oh.
Well, this looks like a lighthearted movie with potentially heavy subject matter. And can it be pulled off is the question. Not sure without seeing the movie. Am I right about this trailer?
Well, it is a heavier movie. And I do want to say, you know, you know my favorite genre of movies is horror.
Oh, yeah,
and
you
then,
love that
And then
stuff.
After horror, it is...
Ducks.
After, let me guess. Let's see if we know
no, that,
Joseph.
That trumps
yeah. See, after horror is...
not. It's not happy movies,
dramedy.
But it is...
Drama.
Christmas movies.
Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Like yes. Mixed Nuts.
Yes, that's my favorite
oh, yeah,
movie
you're
of
right.
all.
You're right.
And so I love Christmas movies, so I was really looking forward to this. You know, Anna Kendrick is a good actress, and we said her, Melanie Lynskey is great as well. Of course, Joe Swanberg wrote and directed this movie, and he also stars in it as well. He's actually from Your Next
yeah.
movie.
Oh, a good one.
Yeah, and so, you know, on the surface of things, I think that Joe Swanberg kind of made a mistake in calling this Happy Christmas, because people who don't like Christmas movies are not going to go see it. And then people who do like Christmas movies are going to be really disappointed when they find out that it's really not that much about Christmas.
Uh-oh.
You know, I just got to say that, you know, things don't get much brighter when you dig any deeper either, because Joe Swanberg's mumblecore, you've heard this term mumblecore?
No.
That's what Jeff Who Lives at Home is. I love that movie. It was my best movie a couple of years ago.
Yawn.
Jeff Who Lives at Home? Okay, well.
That was a yawny movie.
Well, I love that movie, but, you know, the mumblecore is why you're saying yawn. And so when you amplify that mumblecore times like a million, you get Happy Christmas and you really get yawn. There are some critics out there who absolutely love mumblecore. I love it in, you know, just when the movie really, really
right.
works. I don't think the movie worked here because the plot doesn't, it doesn't have that much of a plot. You know, we've seen this plot before. There was a movie called Afternoon Delight that actually, did you see Afternoon
I did,
Delight?
Yeah, Catherine Hahn.
Yeah, and that was a good movie.
I liked it.
Also,
yeah.
Ted from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
was in it.
Absolutely.
But it had a little more of a risque more plot
Very,
than this.
Yeah.
But it's the same exact plot, but here they don't dig deep enough. And, you know, I just felt like I was spending time with unlikable people who accomplish absolutely nothing other than rambling on and on about trivial topics. Yeah, the only good part of the movie is, in fact, when they're talking about trivial topics, they're trying to come up with ideas for an erotic novel that Anna Kendrick or that Melanie Lynskey is going to write, and Anna Kendrick and her and that girl from Girls, mm-hmm. what's her name?
Lena Dunham.
Yeah, Lena Dunham, who I absolutely can't stand. By the way,
a lot of people can't.
I don't think she's very attractive, and I don't think she's funny, and everything like
she
that.
She gets naked a lot, right? Is that the
yeah? I think so. I've never seen Girls, but that's I think I've heard that.
Is that, on Showtime?
Like that or HBO? I think
yeah. One of yeah. those.
That might be something good to have in a person who's helping you to brainstorm an erotic novel, though.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So and that is a mildly amusing scene, because they're coming up with all these different ideas and saying, oh no, you can't have them do that because that's, you know, so you, and that actually takes place during the end credits or at the end of the end credits. So if you do see Happy Christmas, I'm suggesting that you don't. I'm giving it a thumbs down. But if you do see Happy Christmas, then definitely stay till the end of the credits.
So if you're in a theater,
it's playing exclusively Valley Art, by the way.
Go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
And then you find a showing of this show that started after the beginning of your show.
Yes.
And you get there just in time to see the credits. Ha ha!
Yeah.
Problem solved.
I don't know if...
It's a twofer.
What?
We're not... The views expressed on this program.
I'm just...
strictly Trisha. Thing,
it's hard to do at Valley Art, too, by the way. Yeah. They've only got one theater.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
I was just teasing.
But it's funny, though. But what else is funny is Dave is still looking up his endless shrimp, so
I
that's
can't
exciting.
Find it.
Dave.
It probably will be next month. Mark Weber also in it, phenomenal actor.
Yeah, we've had him on the show, actually.
Absolutely, yeah. And I remember with Swanberg with Drinking Buddies and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, and that's what, he made that. I didn't like Drinking Buddies. Did you ever see Drinking Buddies?
I did. I thought it was okay. I mean, I liked the cast, but it was a little slow. And that's the thing.
And Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah,
I love Olivia Wilde.
I got 10 minutes into it before I turned it off.
What?
Well, then you're going to hate this. I mean, because I didn't like that, but this is like that feeling amplified.
I know, but every time you tell me I'm going to hate something, I usually like it.
But I suggested that you not see Drinking Buddies, and you tried anyway.
I saw that way before you ever suggested it.
I did not suggest it.
I know.
Oh.
And it's so...
you just did today.
It's so tough because Anna Kendrick is so talented. It Pitch Perfect. Not only was it a great movie, but she really was outstanding. And
Cups.
I can't wait for
I
the second one. Yeah, the Cups. And also, especially in 50-50 with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen. She was great as a young psychiatrist, whatever she was. But, you know, she brings a lot out of her characters. So it's tough when you see an Anna Kendrick movie kind of struggle like that. And I didn't see this. I might check it out because I know I'll only be able to watch a couple minutes of it, it sounds like.
Probably,
but
yeah.
It's tough because Swanberg, you know, he's a talented guy.
I've talked to him.
He's
really fascinating to talk to. And I forget what I
think we heard the interview.
We played it. I don't know if it was for Drinking Buddies. I think it was for Drinking Buddies, but I also talked to him about Your Next and his role in that.
He was good in
that.
He's
got a knife in his back.
Yeah.
I did see Afternoon Delight.
Yeah.
I went off the shrimp kick.
Oh. See,
that was a pretty good movie, but it was sort of weird too.
Yeah, but you know
why would the mom, you know, do some of that stuff?
Well, there are curiosities when you're married for. I mean, I don't know this personally, but I know some of my friends. When you're married for that long, and then you know, kind of the passion leaves and all that, you kind of have no. Okay.
Not when you're truly in love. My parents have been married for 64 years.
Okay.
Oh,
and they are still.
How about the testosterone?
They are still. Trust me. They are still.
Yeah, we have pictures.
Okay.
Yes. No, we don't have pictures. Oh. But they are still active.
They are amazing because her father.
Just turned 90.
He was walking downstairs and I'm like, oh, here, let me get your luggage. No.
He
said it nicely, though.
That.
He said it nicely, though. But it's just amazing because at 90 just the way of functioning, it's unbelievable.
Incredible.
And that other thing they may still be doing, but
not
discuss.
There's no may about it. Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you, it's about the love and
chemistry
love,
too. There's not chemistry with another person, but I'm saying the internal chemistry.
Internal
some
chemistry
people have
and
problems.
Pharmacology as well can help. You know, there are little blue pills, but I'm sorry, but I'm a poster child to let everybody know that life does not end when you're 90.
Or when you marry Dave.
There's just that. But I think it's also the change of times as well. Younger people now, if they get married young in their early mid-20s or whatever, it's just different society. So then after a couple of years, oh, no, what did I miss out on? And then you see them, you know, do some of their things out there. Or in these movies, like Afternoon Delight. But Ted Mosby is amazing, though. So
he
should
he
never
was interesting.
Lose chemistry with him.
Yeah, that was an interesting role for him.
It was.
And
different than I thought.
And I wanted to speak with him, you know, several times. I think I mentioned that on the show that I wanted to speak with Ted Mosby several times, but never worked out. I had a chance to speak with Anna Kendrick once, but then they pulled the plug on that interview. She was coming to Phoenix, but then she did not have time for Phoenix.
Ugh.
Yeah, so she just, like, bypassed us.
You know, speaking of Phoenix, I got an email from our friend Faith Conroy, co-writer with Jim Wilson on 50 to 1. 50 to 1 is coming back to Phoenix.
Well, Peoria.
The Arrowhead Fountains 18, Trisha.
Yay!
This is exciting because such a great movie.
And it's the race season right now. Del Mar's open.
This is very exciting. It's such a good movie, and they're doing well.
Yeah.
Florida. They're in Florida now, and they're getting a lot of good
They're getting
reviews.
A lot of exposure.
Yeah, really yeah. good. Nice yeah. people.
I know. They were excited when we were giving them exposure, and now they've got exposure from everyone. But yeah. they're still keeping us in the loop, so we appreciate that.
Very much appreciate
They are doing great, and what else is doing great is Red Lobster's Google searches from yeah. Dave. Still on
they're
it,
trending.
On break, if they are open. Dave, you are required to
call them
and ask when it begins.
Yeah, I can't
You're,
find it.
Last year was
trending.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year was different because they had it for a little bit in September or October, but they stopped it early. But brought it back again around Christmas time. In the past, it was always, you know, September or October, kind of before Halloween, yeah. and it lasted yeah. quite a while. But yeah,
good
times
too,
there.
Right?
I thought they were going out of business.
Oh,
uh-oh.
No way!
Not after today's show.
No, well, yeah, now we've just
with those Cheddar Bay biscuits.
No.
I know everyone's going to Red Lobster. Everyone's going to get those Lay's potato chips, and everyone's going to Lowell Observatory.
Now they owe Breakthrough Thinking or Breakthrough Entertainment money for the ads.
Yes. Oh yeah, we're working on the Royal.
Either that, or you're going to have to hit the dump button right now on the last.
Nah.
Half hour.
I can't do a half hour.
Oh, okay. Well, then instead, let's talk a little bit about another movie that opened yesterday. It's called Mood Indigo. This one's playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View, I believe.
Yeah.
Romain Duris plays a wealthy, inventive bachelor who endeavors to find a cure for his lover. You know, this is a foreign film when you call it lover.
Lover.
Audrey Tautou. Of course, we know her as Amélie. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep, Amelie.
Oh, that's one of my favorite foreign films. After she is diagnosed with an unusual illness caused by a flower growing in her lungs. Have you ever heard of that?
Actually, there was a tree growing in a person's lungs. They inhaled the seed, and it actually took root in their lungs. They were thinking it was a mass, such as cancer or something, and it was literally a tree growing in the lungs. I don't remember.
Like,
but it was amazing. And that's on on Medical Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not such a far-fetched idea when you see that little pollen thing go through. When you see her inhale it on. I was thinking about that when I saw that. That's why I remember that.
Yeah, they actually show
tree.
It, you know, growing
yeah.
in her. And
in
that,
her lung, yeah.
that she's got to have these flowers, these fresh flowers every single day to try to... I eliminate this illness, and she's going through all these different steps. And
that's a little far-fetched, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, I know. But it's that kind of a movie, and I'm saying, but it's I guess, inspired by something that's real. What did you think of the trailer then?
Well, I saw it. I thought it was a forced romantic comedy with the predictability. I'm
oh,
sorry.
There we go.
Predictability of all the romantic comedies that were ever made.
Okay, well, this is written and directed by Michael Gondry. And,
no wonder.
And I said, you know, Eternal Sunshine on the Spotless Mind? I'm sure you've seen that, Greg.
Yeah, Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I hated that movie.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
I was indifferent. Neither thumb up or thumb down.
Maybe because, I don't know, I wasn't familiar with that kind of... I think it might mean something more when you've experienced a love that you want to forget. And you want to forget that part of your life or something.
Sure, yeah.
But when you aren't experiencing that, it just feels like mumbo jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Mood Indigo has... all of that, you know, inventiveness, plus of all this visual whimsy, I don't know if it's like claymation and weird computer-generated things and all that, you know, it's remarkably cute, albeit tremendously trippy. Mm-hmm. That is a really, really weird movie when the phone on the wall starts to ring, and then it just crawls down the wall, and then they have to hit it because it's like some sort of animal in the house.
It.
Yeah. I mean, and then they're always talking to this little rat, but the rat is a man in a mouse costume, and then they go flying on this cloud machine. I don't know. It is a really weird movie, but it's really cute, especially when they're first falling in love. They've got some beautiful music that plays. Just the way that they meet, you know, everyone around this guy is saying, you know, I've fallen in love, and I've got this girl in my life, and he stands up and he says, I demand to fall in love. You know, and so I think that women are absolutely going to love the romanticism of this movie, and I think the guys are going to like the you know, trippiness of it. I say that in a double-edged sword kind of way, where it is really weird, but it's also cute. So it's hard to shake the feeling that you've inadvertently ingested some sort of drug upon entry into the movie theater, yet you like the experience nonetheless. So, you know, as the things, as the plot goes on, I kind of lost interest in a little bit of it because it just, it's a little bit slim on story. Yes, she's got this illness, but what does he really do about it? I've seen a better love story that comes out in a couple months that I'll tell you about that I actually gave a breakthrough to. I will not tell you what the title of it is, but we do have another breakthrough through in September. But I will say that the radiant romanticism of Mood Indigo remains more than enough to win over the hearts of most moviegoers, both men and women. So, you know, if it's a date night, check out Mood Indigo. Thumbs up.
And bring your reading glasses because it is subtitled.
And that makes it really difficult, too. That's one thing I didn't like about Amelie or this movie, because Amelie's got that whimsy, too. Mm-hmm. You want to look at all of the things that are going on, yet you want to understand everything that's happening, so you want to read it. And so, I don't know, my eyes don't move that fast to look at the screen and then at the bottom of the screen at the same time. And the words here, they were really, really tiny.
They were tiny, and it looked like the contrast between what the words were on and the background made it difficult to read completely as well.
White on white a lot of times.
So it was quite frustrating for me in that regard. I'm wishing that one of these days they would have like headphones where you actually hear the words in English.
Yeah, and a lot of people give those dubbed versions a really hard time. I know Hot Tension was a horror movie that was released dubbed. And
the problem is they don't get like really good actors to do the voiceover.
Right.
And it just totally takes the whole feel out of it.
Yes. But, you know, High Tension, they did a really good job with that. And so when it does work, it works wonderfully. I mean, even if the words aren't matching up with
I don't mind that as long as it's well acted.
Yeah. It's just, but for a movie like this, you want to be able to enjoy what you're watching rather than, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you don't like to think. No, I like to watch. You know, that's one of the things about movies. You want to watch it.
Yes,
you don't
want
to have to read words all the whole time.
Yeah.
So a lot of publicists get upset with me because I say, you know, I'm sorry that I'm not that much into a foreign film, so I won't cover this. But this one looked interesting, and hey, lo and behold, I'm giving it a thumbs up, and that's pretty rare for a foreign film for me.
You know, and for something like that, sometimes it's almost better to either. Well, I don't know which order you would say, but watch it reading the subtitles to get the dialogue and the story and then rewatch it to be able. But there is something about French that just is so romantic.
Yes, this is a very romantic movie, you know, especially in the beginning and everything. And
it's mostly the French women.
Hey, the French men. Well, not so much hot looking, but their accent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've gone over how accents tend to
make women
parlez-vous anglais?
No.
Well, don't go see Happy Christmas, but do go see Mood Indigo. Couple of art films out, but we've got two other movies that we'll talk about in our next hour, including Behaving Badly, starring Selena Gomez, and what's the other one we're going to talk about? Oh, yeah, with David Duchovny, Louder Than Words.
Ooh,
yes. So those are playing at a couple of AMCs, so we'll tell you if those are worth watching. But we should take another break because we got a really interesting interview on next. Hey, hey, hey.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Hey.
This is from Guardians of the Galaxy. Of course, you know, he's kicking that, kicking stuff around, beginning of the movie. Peter Quill is.
I love those moves when he walked in there. And this music, I just
he's got the
get
headphones
up and dance.
On.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come and Get Your Love by Redbone. Yeah, this song will make you want to get up and dance.
And I will tell you, in our theater, people were singing with this movie. It was great.
You're going to want the soundtrack.
You're going to want the soundtrack. That was the first thing I thought of after like the second song. I was like, oh my gosh, I want the soundtrack.
Yep.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
It's always great to have a friend in business. That's why we encourage you to reach out to Brandon Ross at Burke Carpenter Financial, a full-service residential lender. Call now for exceptional service and an accurate pre-qualification. Connect with him online at BrandonRossHomeLoans.com or by phone at 602-953-7826, 602-953-7826. 953-7826. Brandon Ross, NMLS number 858655, and Burke Carpenter Financial, NMLS number 142159.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here on 1480 AM KPHX Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo and Greg Isaac, Eric Reiner, Trisha, and Joseph. I've heard this song before.
Yes, it's called Go All the Way. I don't know what that means. By the Raspberries.
We're pretty sure you don't.
No. That was by the Raspberries, and so we're familiar with this song. It's from Guardians of the Galaxy. So, yeah, and, great soundtrack.
He muted your microphone when you gave him a raspberry on that comment.
Yeah. Oh. But of course, we're not just celebrating Guardians of the Galaxy today on Breakthrough Entertainment. We're celebrating a lot of different films, including this next one that you can find on video on demand. It's called Dark Mountain, and we have on writer-director Tara Anais. Is that how you pronounce it?
It's not. No.
No, okay. How do you pronounce it?
It's Tara Anais.
Tara Anais.
Yes.
Better. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on Breakthrough Entertainment, and let me tell our listeners... Yeah, absolutely. You know, let me tell listeners a little bit about the film. In March 2011, three filmmakers disappeared in the Superstition Mountains of Arizona. While documenting their search for the lost Dutchman mine, their bodies were never found, but their camera was.
That's
right. So was this movie filmed in Arizona?
We shot 2 days in Arizona, 3 days in Arizona and 6 days in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, okay. Great. And so this is, how would you, I call it a found footage film earlier. Is that the term that you use?
That is the term that I use, yeah.
Okay.
Found footage style thriller, horror thriller, I would say.
All right. And so without revealing exactly what happens, what kind of thrills can viewers be in store once, you know, because like we said, these filmmakers are trying to document their search, and then some things start to happen.
That's right. Well, we kind of use the full mystique surrounding the Superstition Mountains. I know I've read a lot about people think there's sort of like these portals and vortexes out there and things like that. So we kind of we use that sort of thing. We sort of go into a little bit with how the Apache consider the Superstition sort of sacred ground. There's a sort of a sci-fi element into it. We kind of try to use all of these things about the mountains themselves and incorporate that with the Legend of the Dutchman Mine and make it it's sort of a hopefully delightful and scary film.
And now the inception of this film, what was, you know, is that, were you familiar with these superstitions, or were you wanting to make a movie and kind of like researching ideas? How did that all come about?
Well, my producing partner, she grew up in Arizona, so she grew up with this legend. And she was the one who told me about it. And we had been, she wanted to make a movie about the Legend of the Mine somehow. And we worked on scripts together a lot, so we were sort of kicking around different ways to make this into a film. And like her first instinct was to do it like a kid's movie, something like Goonies. Mm-hmm. And we actually wrote that script, but it's like neither of our sensibilities.
Oh.
So then we were thinking like it could be something sort of like the X-Files, like some kind of like sci-fi X-File kind of thing. And we wrote an outline for that, but we didn't get farther than that. And then I came up with the idea of doing it this way as sort of a found footage horror thriller. Because we could do it, it was a lot more economical. Like the other scripts we were writing were like huge budget movies. And this way we were able to sort of like shoot it quickly, make it ourselves, and raise money and go do it, you know?
Yeah, and now there are some people out there who just hear the word found footage. Eric, you know, kind of like gets upset every time we say that.
I don't get upset.
Well, you tend to not like the film because I think that some films have spoiled the genre.
Yes,
no,
and when
totally.
The camera's shaking all over the place, it drives me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you on that. I've noticed there's like a huge backlash against found footage, especially like within the horror community I've been finding. But, you know, I think if you can do it in a way and sort of put your own spin on it somehow, I think then, as long as it's not too completely derivative, you know what I mean? And like we reference Blair Witch in the film.
Oh.
And I think, you know, without doing that, I feel like, it, you know, people would just be like, that's a complete, like, sort of ripoff, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so similar. So I think if you, like, address it, you know, if you address the fact that found footage is, like, sort of all over the place, and it can be derivative, I think that's a way to hopefully, you know, navigate around that.
Yeah, good point.
But, like, there's one of, you know, it's really, the real reason we chose to do it this way was because, was financial, you know what I mean? Because we shot the movie in 8 days altogether.
Wow.
And there's no way we could have done that if it wasn't found footage style, you know? And I do think that doing the found footage style really enabled us to sort of take all of these seemingly just disparate parts of the legend and kind of blend them together into one cohesive thing. Okay. I don't know if I would have been able to do that if it wasn't found footage, almost.
Yeah, good point. And now, so you mentioned that, so it was filmed over 8 days, 3 days of filming here in Arizona. Were those, was that filming done in Superstition Mountains, or is, you know, somewhere else that you maybe wouldn't rather tell us?
No, we shot Superstition. We shot in Apache Junction, and like the base of Superstition.
And anything interesting that you saw? Anything that maybe made you question that some of these superstitions might be true?
Yeah, actually, we were in Goldfield Ghost Town at like the Mammoth Saloon. We were sitting outside. They have like this deck outside that overlooks the superstitions. I'd actually interviewed some real townspeople for this film, so they appear in the beginning of the film. We were sitting outside with one of these guys who lives there. And it's nighttime, and he looks up into the sky, and he was like, what is that? And there's just this, like, fireball. It's just hovering there in the sky above the mountains, like, not moving at all, and it was bigger than a star. And it just looked like this small ball of fire. Right. And there were, like, 15 of us out there, and I told my DP was there, and I was like, grab the camera, shoot that. And she tried, but like every other light source in the area registered on the camera, and that just wouldn't register. And then as we were watching it, it just sort of like dissipated and disappeared and it was gone. And that was it.
Wow.
It was bizarre, honestly. I've never seen anything like that. And the people, like a lot of the people that were at this spot who were out there, they were just sort of like, you know, we see this stuff all the time out here.
Wow. So it's almost become second hat for them, huh?
Totally. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, because I, my dad has actually seen a lot of when he takes pictures on these, you know, various areas of Arizona. The you know Native Americans have kind of like they might not be happy that that we are, I don't know, have taken over the areas. And so when you take pictures, you see those orbs because that's another one of those popular superstitions here. And I don't know, I kind of believe that those orbs might be those spirits who aren't too happy.
I mean, I buy it. I mean, I do think there's I mean, there's so many people see things like that out there. It's like, I mean, I don't know. There's so much of the world that we just don't know about, you know?
That's true. That's very true. And so I read your website, your bio. You're kind of into those, I'm going to say maybe ethereal experiences or something. Could you tell us a little bit about your, you know, your background or any beliefs in that respect?
You know, I think on my website it says I'm an amateur shaman. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
You know, I went down to Peru a few years ago and stayed for a couple of days in this like shamanic center down there, and I had some really interesting experiences. And when I came back, I was sort of, I mean, I don't know. I guess I consider myself sort of like spiritual or something, but I mean, it's an odd word, but I feel like there's something out there, and I think that we have ways that we can harness different things.
Now, was that like in the Sacred Valley area around Cusco, Machu Picchu?
No, I went to, it was like about an hour outside of Iquitos, so in the jungle.
Oh, Iquitos, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of very, I know Ollantaytambo and a few other places that are over there that just, it's palpable. You don't know exactly what it is, but there's definitely something there.
It really is. I really do believe that. Yeah.
And so, you know, now the only way that we in Arizona can see this film, which I think is terrible because I know that you were trying to get the film actually to an event here, I think in Mesa, but that unfortunately fell through. We weren't able to get you enough, you know, the promotion here. But we can see it on video on demand. This movie is about an Arizona superstition, about, the, you know, this place here, but we can only see it on video on demand. Is that right?
You can see video on demand, iTunes. It's going to be Cox Cable in the Phoenix metro area, but we are trying to bring it to the Phoenix area in a theater.
Okay.
Sometime down the line. Maybe if I could work something out for like October, Halloween-y kind of thing. But it would be like a one night thing.
Okay.
So if you want to see it now, you can totally get it on demand, iTunes, Xbox, and cable.
Okay. Well, you know, we have the film bar.
And then see it on
here.
The big screen.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, we have the film bar here. They might, I don't know if you've contacted them. They might be.
Someone else suggested that, yeah. So I should do that. I'll contact them.
Absolutely. We'd love to see it on the big screen. And, you know, definitely keep us posted because we would love to see it on the big screen as well. But right now in other states, because we have some listeners in other states, can you tell us where it opened theatrically?
We did a couple of screenings, like one-off screenings. We just did a screening in Austin on Wednesday. I'm in Austin right now. We did it in New York on the 31st, and we played L.A. on the 11th with the Downtown Film Festival. And we're playing Portland on Sunday.
Okay, great. Well, and, you know, tell us the website for the film or best way to keep in the loop about where it's going to be.
Sure. It's darkmountainmovie.com is the website. And if you follow us on Facebook, you can see it. We'll keep you updated on all sorts of things. It's facebook.com/darkmountainmovie. And on Twitter, _darkmountain_.
Fantastic. Well, again, writer director Tara Anais. Better?
That's better. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us to tell us a little bit about Dark Mountain. We highly recommend all of our listeners check it out on video on demand and stay tuned for its theatrical release. Fingers crossed here in the valley.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Good luck with the release.
Thanks.
Yeah. Wow, found footage.
Yeah, and
that's your type of movie, though.
Yeah, I love horror movies, and you know, I love things that are inspired by true things that are right here in the valley.
Did you see the movie?
I have not seen the movie yet. No. So you know, we'll have to. Yeah, I'm sure that we'll be in touch with her again as it you know, hopefully comes back here
after
in the valley.
After you see it.
Well, after it comes here to the valley.
Well, we should have a screening here.
Right here. Whoa. In the studio. Yeah, we should.
Right. Can we do that? Right behind you.
How many people could we pack into, and where would they be? Would they be in here or in there with you?
Depends if you have oil here.
The film bar, you know, I like the place. It's a great concept, but when you're going to call yourself a bar, at least have some good drinks.
There's no drinks?
They have like all these micro-brewed beers and wine.
I've never been, but it sounds great.
We're going to have to invite the captain.
Who's that? And
Captain Morgan.
Yeah, they don't have the captain.
I was going to say, speaking of Joseph and his great love of horror movies, one of the great horror directors of all time turns 75 today. Happy birthday to Wes Craven.
Ooh.
Yes, he brought us Freddy Krueger, Scream.
I spoke with him.
Last House on the Left, the original. Yeah.
The guys at POD thought I looked like the mom from Edward Scissorhands.
Who's that?
Diane Weist.
Oh, yes. Okay. I didn't know who.
Diane Weist. How do you know that?
Or West? Weist?
Weist. I think it's Weist. Yeah.
Let me. Oh, but it's
spelled. I love Edward Scissorhands. That's one of my favorites.
I love the movie, but yeah. I don't know.
How do you spell Weist?
I think it's W-E-I or W-I-E-S-T.
Yeah. Oh. One of those.
Sorry.
I before E except for after.
That's her, Dave. You have her on your
computer.
But does
that count in a last name?
Move over the shrimp.
I don't know.
Oh, I've seen her.
Yeah, it is Weiss because I've heard it said
or
before.
I-E?
Oh, sort of.
I before E. Yeah, see,
except
it still works
C.
for the last name.
It still works in the game. Yeah.
You're learning here, all of our homeschoolers here on Breakthrough Entertainment. if you want to send us donations, 602-252-1480.
You're famous. You look like Diane Weist of the least.
I don't see it.
Well, you know.
I don't see it either.
Really?
If you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, because that is what we are promoting here today on Breakthrough Entertainment, or if you've seen anything else, give us a call, 602-252-1480. Again, that is 602-252-1480, or check us out on Facebook, BreakRadioShow.com. Click on the big F and send us a shout-out. Or, you know, we've got some cool movie promotions on there as well. You can enter to win some tickets to see some movies. We've got another one going up very soon, possibly tomorrow or the next day, for Let's Be Cops. Ooh. But in the meantime, let's play another song from Guardians of the Galaxy. This is by Rupert Holmes. And I don't know, do you like pina coladas?
Oh, I like that song,
No, too sweet.
Oh, do you like to escape?
Yes.
Yeah, escape. We love to escape to Las Vegas.
Well, that's the name of the song, Escape.
Las Vegas?
No, Escape.
Oh, Escape from New York?
No, just Escape.
Escaping? Okay, landscaping. Okay, it's Escape.
Personal columns.
Manscaping.
Yeah, do you?
Oh.
I think I remember it from Shrek. That's where I heard it from the first time.
Yeah, getting caught in the rain.
This is very good. Yeah, I remember that.
Making love at midnight.
So who wrote who sang
Rupert? Rupert Holmes.
Oh, I thought it was the Beatles.
We got a lot of weird names. Rupert.
Yeah, Rupert.
That's a very common name. Rupert.
Norman Greenbaum today.
Rupert Everett.
Norm Crosby. Remember Norm Crosby?
Yeah.
Oh,
normal.
And this is an interesting scene that they play this in. It's good
it
use.
Yes, it is.
It's
very,
very good
excellent
scene.
Use. But even when it first came out, I just thought it was so romantic because it's about two people who think that their relationship is dying, and they put out personal ads, and they end up. I know that
sounds. And if people were to do that in real life, you'd probably be in big trouble.
Answering each other's ad.
That is so lovely.
Yes.
We encourage everyone to find your soulmate.
Yeah,
okay.
Find your soulmate,
anyway,
definitely.
Put out a personal ad.
So this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live, 1480 AM KPHX Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
It's now time for the word association game. Contestants, go ahead.
Bars. Meat market. Gas.
High prices.
Politicians.
Liars.
Auto mechanics.
Ripoff. Guys, whoa, wait a minute here.
Not when I think of my auto mechanic. I think of trust, care, safety, and fairness. This sounds like the definition of a friend, which was what Alexander's All Care Automotive Repair achieves with his customers. The peace of mind that comes with a mechanic that puts you first. Located at 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, 85018. Call 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinhardt, and Tricia. We're having fun today.
Yeah.
And more fun to come.
Yeah, a lot. We're only a little about 50, 60% of the way through today's show. And David Bowie is bringing us into this segment. Moonage Daydream.
Moonage.
Moonage.
Is that like spoonage?
No. Moonage.
Is there such thing as a spoonage?
Yeah, a little spoonage of, I don't know.
I've heard the word spoonage.
No, you've said the word spoonage.
Oh.
When he was talking about the game of spoons, you're like, oh, we have spoonage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what I said. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's spoonage.
And you can play moons, but that might get you arrested on the I-17.
That's right. You can't do moonage.
No moonage. But Moonage Daydream out in the galaxy with David Bowie. That might be fun. Guardians of the Galaxy in theaters starting yesterday. Three thumbs up. We are celebrating it here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
But you only
today.
Have two.
Three.
I only have what? Oh, we
you
have
said three thumbs up.
We're each contributing one, but I actually put two thumbs up. So.
Well, I've got three arms because today, you know, an alien galaxy.
Oh, now I get the connection with the T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
Gravity.
But, yeah. So, yeah. So, Greg, I know that you saw something.
I did. You know, in July of 2013, the city of Los Angeles was taken by storm. Literally, Sharknado occurred. It's a phenomenon that is just... It's just unbelievable. It doesn't get any better. Ian Ziering leading the way, helping everyone out. He goes by the name Finn, though.
A-lister, that guy.
Oh, he's amazing. Well, unfortunately, in New York now, we saw the same phenomenon just a couple days ago. And the Sharknadoes now are East Coasters. And so Ian Ziering once again, or Ian Ziering, he was able to do his thing. He made the trek to New York, and the Sharknado seemed to find him and his ex-wife, but they're getting back together, Tara Reid.
Yeah, Tara Reid has a new Sharknado perfume out now.
She does.
Yes.
That's amazing. With a little help from their friends, Vivica A. Fox, as well as Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, mm-hmm. talking about, you know, bands from the 90s, you know, they went after the Sharknadoes.
I went to school with him.
Oh, you did?
With Mark McGrath.
How was he?
He was all right.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy. So, you know, again, you don't see films like this often. These are some of the great films of our time, the Sharknado and Sharknado 2, the second one. Just the amount of money they probably put into this film. And as Eric said, getting an A-lister like Ian Ziering, who...
And Tara Reid,
And Tara Reid. Ziering, of course, who was great 20-plus years ago in Beverly Hills 90210. But, no, all in all, though, this actually, if you're into the cheesy fun, it is... Sharknado 2, I mean, it, you know, it does its thing. It's funny. It's obviously these movies are made to be so bad that you find them entertaining, and it's good. I think we're seeing more sense of humor out there from people that are now like, oh, okay, we like this type of thing, because you see the Sci-Fi Network, you know, come out with these shark movies all the time, like Megatron versus the fish shark.
Well, it's Shark Week. Hello.
Well, that's coming up soon, too, but even for the last couple of years. But yeah, I don't know if you guys saw the first Sharknado or if you've even been able to see
this
one.
I have it in my queue on Netflix, but I just haven't gotten to it.
Check it out. I mean, it will change your life. And this one even changes it more. These are fantastic. You watch, you have a good time, you laugh, you say, what's Judd Hirsch doing in this? You know, we just needed Jeff Goldblum, and we would have been great. Kurt Angle, the wrestler's in it, Kelly Osbourne, some other cameos.
What about Gelman? Don't spoil it.
Yeah.
I know that, though.
What's funny is it says here online that Tara Reid was embarrassed by the first Sharknado, but yet she comes back in the second one?
A little cash can help.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because when I saw your post about Sharknado 2, the next thing I know on Facebook, it's like so many of my friends are like, Sharknado! Exclamation
Cult
point.
Classic.
Exactly. It must be. I think it's going to have to be something on our list, babe.
As Mr. Lipton would say, this is a phenomenal film, a film of great epic.
You think he would watch that?
What list?
No, it's amazing that he's like 87 years old.
He actually did a special all about How I Met Your Mother, and he was reciting all the lines from the show, and it was kind of humorous.
I think they did a Family Guy one too, or Seth MacFarlane and some of the others. Yeah. He's a good guy, but in actuality, the seriousness is if you like the goofy type stuff, just enjoy having fun, having some popcorn. It's a good film for that because it's so bad like the first one. I enjoyed it even a little more than the first one. I just thought, you know, it was a little more, it's not creative, but a little more uniqueness with
Well, it's all thanks to Roger Corman, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's responsible for a lot of those.
A lot of the B movies and things like that.
Yeah, he used to direct a lot, but now he just produces a few. And there is that Corman World documentary, which kind of tracks all the, up into the, you know, not Sharknado, but right before that came out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow, you really did go to film school.
Oh.
He's a real film columnist.
Wow, that actually...
I understand now.
Wow.
Some credit given.
That sounded like a compliment. Yeah. Yes.
And I don't even have anything in front of me that I'm looking this stuff up.
I know.
And this
amazing.
All happened it's because impressive. Of Sharknado 2 conversation.
Yes.
See what Sharknado 2 does. But again, I mentioned some of the cameos, some other ones I won't mention. But again, just fun to watch, to look out for some of that stuff. Howard Stern was even offered a role in the film. He turned it down, but Benji, who works with Howard Stern,
one of his writers.
Has a small role. Yeah, definitely. So again, a good time if you're into that type of cheese.
Yeah, I just finished the Pringles with
you
cheese.
You did? How are they?
Cheese are good. Cheese.
Yeah.
I like cheese.
You know what? These types of movies are great because you just have a good time, and it just shows. This is one where film columnists and critics sometimes maybe stay out of, in the sense where you just watch it as the sense to kind of enjoy. Because obviously, yeah, you're going to, you know, any film columnist or critic would say, okay, it gets one star.
Not any. I mean, because of course,
there's some B movies that are.
Yeah, we've reviewed movie 43, and you know, I love that film, and. You know,
but that's even different because it's one of those so stupid that it's funny type of films. But there are differences for it. Obviously, this one, you know, when you have sharks swirling around. And what's interesting is they've brought up some scenarios like weather things that have happened that are crazy.
Yeah. AccuWeather sent a pitch to me. They wanted to have someone on to talk about all the crazy things that, you know, animals.
Frogs falling from the sky.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you get that email?
No, but I've heard of that before.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted a tie-in to the Sharknado thing. So that's, you know, and not that, what we're doing here on Breakthrough Entertainment is not that far-fetched where we talk about, you know, real-life aspects of the movies.
And, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Sharknado 3 expected to take place in San Jose at the HP Pavilion with sharks flying around San Jose, you know, just trying to bite people, not knowing what they're doing. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, one actress that probably should have been offered a role in Sharknado 2 is Selena Gomez. We're going to talk about her new movie top of the next hour. You know, she's a great actress.
Awesome.
Yeah, she was in Getaway. Great film.
I remember when you talked about that, you said she was horrible in it.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. Okay. Yes. Yeah, she was.
I can't tell today. You're very subdued today.
You can't see the tongue in cheek over here.
She was in. Selena Gomez was in Getaway, and now he's in Boyhood, which might be the best movie of the year. So, wow. Ethan Hawke. I'm sorry.
I was going to say you said he after Selena Gomez, and I was like, whoa.
I thought maybe she was playing a boy in it or something.
I spaced out. Spaced out.
No, she's a cutie pie.
She does share my birthday. Well, she's a little younger than me, but yeah, so
I'll
give her that. No, she was younger, like 22. But
she got chipmunk cheeks.
She does. She's been in the weird with the whole Justin Bieber situation, then Miranda Kerr, Orlando Bloom, and now there's talk that all four of them hooking up. It's a weird story.
Well,
yeah,
I think you could probably go
to TMZ for that.
That's where she learned to behave badly.
Yes, well, behaving badly after the break. We will be, and then we'll also be talking about the movie Behaving Badly, as well as a movie that Trisha wants to hear about, Louder Than Words.
Yes. And we'll also have somebody on that is probably going to behave badly, too.
Probably.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
Let's see. Should we be good today, or should we be bad today?
Good today.
Just a little bit of both.
Hey. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM.
Fooled Around.
PHX.
Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is that in the order, Fool Around, Fall in Love?
No.
It should be Fall in Love and...
Then you can fool around.
That's what I'm thinking. And we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.